Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 42 of the Theology of Eternal Damnation in Hell. I am your host, Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International. This podcast is about the negative side of eternal life. When it comes to what happens after death, people love to talk about heaven and the wonderful benefits of eternity with God. However, everybody singing about heaven and everybody preaching about heaven ain't going. There is less talk about the negative side of eternal life. This podcast will explore what the Bible says about hell and the eternal damnation of those who die without Christ. Dr. J. Vernon McGee said, "Don't say that a loving God is going to send you to hell. He's not. The thing that's going to send you to hell is that you're a sinner and you don't want to admit it, and you do not want to repent and believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, who is the only one who can save you from that awful place called hell." Ladies and gentlemen, the Holy Bible says in Luke 12:5, "But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." Beloved, allow me to share with you some important points of commentary on this passage from the Bible Knowledge Commentary. Jesus went on to teach that his disciples should be fearless because God would take care of them. Instead of fearing men who could kill their bodies, they should fear God, the one who has the power to throw one into hell. Our topic is The Destiny of the Wicked, Part 1, From Eternal Punishment by A.W. Pink, Dr. A.W. Pink. There is deep need for us to approach this solemn subject impartially and dispassionately. Let writer and reader cry earnestly to God that all prejudices and preconceptions may be moved from our minds. It ill becomes us to sit at the feet of infinite wisdom, determined to hold fast to our foregone conclusions. Nothing can be more insulting to God than to presume to examine his word, professing a desire to learn his mind, when we have already settled to our own satisfaction what it will say. Someone has said that we ought to bring our minds to the scriptures as blank paper is brought to the printing press, that it may receive only the impress of the type. May such grace be vouchsafed to us all, that we may ever present our minds to the Holy Spirit's teaching, that only the impress may be left which God has designed. May our only desire be to hear what saith the Lord. It is written, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And this is one of the many verses that refute the errors of the annihilationists, who make the judgment of the sinner to be itself death. But here, death and judgment are clearly distinguished. The one follows the other. The fact of a future judgment for sinners is established by numerous passages of Holy Writ. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9, we read, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment." Again, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14, we are told, "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." The New Testament witnesses to the same truth. "He hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained." The judgment itself is described in Revelation 20, 11 through 15. Of the certainty of this coming judgment, we are left in no doubt. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. It will be impossible for the sinner to evade it. Escape there will be none. How can ye escape the damnation of hell? Resistance, individually or collectively, will be futile. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. No confederacy of his foes shall hinder God from taking vengeance upon them. Holy Scripture teaches plainly that man's opportunity for salvation is limited to the period of his earthly life. If he dies unsaved, his fate is sealed inexorably. There are two passages in the New Testament most generally relied upon by those who affirm that there is for the lost a hope beyond death. These are both found in the first epistle of Peter. A brief notice then shall be taken of them. "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing." But these verses make no reference whatever to any preaching heard by those who had already passed out of this life. They simply tell us that the Spirit of God preached through Noah while the ark was being built to those who were disobedient, and because they refused to respond to that preaching, they are now spirits in prison. It was not Christ himself who preached, but the Holy Spirit, as in plain from the opening words of verse 19, by which back to the Spirit at the end of verse 18. That the Holy Spirit did address himself to the antediluvians, we know from Genesis 6:3. My Spirit shall not always strive with man. The Spirit strove through Noah's preaching, that Noah was a preacher. We learn from 2 Peter 2:5. The second passage is found in 1 Peter 4:6. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead. But this need not detain us. The gospel was preached not as now being preached, or will again be preached to them. That such passages as these are appealed to only serves to show how untenable and impossible is the contention they are supposed to support. That death seals the doom of the lost. We may prove, my friends, negatively by the fact, and this is conclusive of itself, that we have not a single instance described in either the Old Testament or the New of a sinner being saved after death. Nor is there a single passage that holds out any promise of this in the future. But there are passages that contain positive teaching to the contrary. Ladies and gentlemen, let us pray. And let us pray for those, if we are saved ourselves, for those who are unsaved from that awful place called hell. And let's pray for their salvation. And if you are not saved yourself under the sound of my voice, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. As Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Holy Father God, thank you for allowing us to spend this time together to be reminded of these sobering thoughts. Help us, that is, those of us who are truly born again, to take them very seriously and to be about our Father's business of witnessing to the lost. And Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray for the salvation of those who are lost under the sound of my voice. Open their blinded eyes, unstop their deaf ears, and save their souls today. In Jesus Christ's name, we do pray and forsake. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, please understand that after you die, you will be ushered into one of two places to spend eternity, heaven or hell. Here's how you can be sure that you will not go to that awful place called hell and suffer eternal damnation forever, and rather have a home in heaven when you die. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou you shalt be saved. Here's how you can be saved from sin and hell, and have a home in heaven when you die, in more detail. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. And so have I. We all have. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. That's right. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Also, the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, I know this is bad news, but I'm here to tell you, if you live in sin and you never trust Christ as Savior, you're going to spend eternity in hell. I know that that is not popular, but it is true. But here's the good news. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that is, perish in hell, but have everlasting life. Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will save you. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou, you, shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou, you, shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, the black and the white, the red and the yellow, the young and the old, the rich and the poor. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Until next time, my beloved, may God bless you and keep you.